The Random Jottings of Hinge and Brackett with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett. With Jean Haywood as Maud and friends and neighbours at Stacton Trestle in A Law Unto Herself.
I do hope that what I'm about to say won't sound egotistical, but I have always been very happy being me. Well, Evadne has never been very happy being her, but that's hardly surprising, isn't it? Poor dear. No, as far as being me is concerned, I've only one tiny drawback. I suppose it's something that happens to anyone who is fluffy and feminine and a bit skittish and fun to be with. And that is that people tend to assume that one is shallow. Well, I'm not shallow. I'm really quite deep. I can play Scrabble. So I do get rather tired of Evadne constantly insinuating that I'm capable of nothing more serious than tiddlywinks. But, of course, life isn't all games, as the philosopher said, which takes me back to the morning of yet another day on which Evadne's mother was staying with us. It all began in the drawing room. Evadne, aren't you going to pop upstairs and see if your mother would like another cup of tea there?
No, I'm not. If she wants another cup of tea, she can jolly well come down and get it herself.
Well, aren't you going to pop up and bring her breakfast tray down, then?
No, I'm not. She can bring it down with her when she comes. I don't approve of her lazing about in bed all day.
Well, it is only 9 o'clock, dear. And she didn't go to bed till 4, but of course you wouldn't know that, would you? You grabbed your mug of cocoa and plodded off up the wooden hill to Bedfordshire before we'd finished the first bottle of gin.
You were drinking cherry brandy when I went up.
Oh, were we still on that? Oh, you must have gone up even earlier than I thought.
I wonder the two of you haven't got monumental hangovers.
Oh, don't be so silly, dear. We didn't have enough to drown a fly. We were only finishing up the odds and ends and talking about you.
What were you saying about me?
Oh, we were just saying what a miserable old stick in the mud you were again. It's not even as if it makes you brighter and more cheerful in the morning. Your mother and I do the drinking and you get up looking as if you've got the hangover. Now, what are you going to do, Evadne?
I'm just going to sit here. Have you any objection?
Yes, I have. I'd sooner you went and sat somewhere else. I want to open my mail, you see. And I do hate doing it with you looking on, especially when you've got that deprived look on your face. Didn't you get any mail this morning?
No, I didn't.
Well, perhaps if you were more pleasant to people, they'd write to you more often.
I don't want them to write to me. People only write twaddle. Your letters are always full of twaddle.
And what about this one in the buff envelope, then? Does that look like twaddle?
No, that doesn't look like yours at all.
Well, it's got my name on it. There, you see. Dame Hilda Brackett. That's not you, is it? That's me. That's the pretty one.
There you are, typical of you. When normal, rational, thinking people receive a communication in a buff envelope, they tear it open with trembling hands and ashen faces, knowing full well that it bodes ill. It's either a bill, a summons, or their call-up papers. What do we go on?
What's the moral?
Well, you treat even that as if it's twaddle, don't you?
I most certainly do not. Mind you, if it's my call-up papers, it is twaddle. So let's see, shall we? Shall we see what's in here? Now watch my face, Evadne.
But no.
Watch it turn ashen. See my hands? They're trembling.
It's probably DTs.
I do wish you'd treat this seriously like normal people do.
Well, what is it?
Well, give me a chance to read it. I might find out. Oh, Evadne.
What?
They want me to be on a jury.
A jury?
Oh.
Catching what? Carnival floats, lovely knees, glamorous grannies? Or the waterworks queen of Stacton?
That sounds rather more like your mind, dear. They say you were wonderfully astute selecting Miss Dumpertruck 1979. No, what they want me for is a proper jury. At the Crown Court.
At the Crown Court? You? It's obviously been a terrible mistake. It must have been meant for me. And since when has your name been Hilda Brackett, DBE? Oh, do be reasonable, Hilda. No one in their right mind would ever dream of putting you on a jury at the Crown Court. I mean, how could your butterfly mind be capable of deciding whether a person was guilty or not guilty? There are several well-proven methods of recognizing the criminal element of that name, and I am cognizant with most of them. For a start, are the eyes too close together? Are the ears too big or pointed? Is the forehead too high? I always thought a high forehead was a sign of intellectuality. Yes, you could be right. Is the forehead too low? And do the eyebrows meet in the middle? Who are you expecting in the dock? Wolfman. I was joking there. Whatever you may think, I am perfectly capable of listening to the evidence.
Well, that'll be the day. Why have you ever listened to what someone else was saying?
What sort of case do you think I'll get?
Well, hopefully one in which the defendant pleads guilty before you get a chance to confuse everyone.
I hope I get a crim passionnel. I'd be very sympathetic towards the accused in a crime of passion.
One is supposed to be neither sympathetic nor unsympathetic, Hilda. One is supposed to be completely impartial and to weigh the evidence with great care. Why do you think that justice is usually portrayed blindfold, with a sword in one hand and a pair of scales in the other?
Oh, and that's another thing. What am I going to wear?
Oh, I get it.
Morning, girls. Mother's down. Mm. Where's everybody hiding?
No, for two pins, I wouldn't tell her.
We're in here, Maureen.
Spot.
Ah, so there you are. Good morning, Hilda.
Good morning, Maureen.
Where's your breakfast tray, Mother?
It's on the little table beside the bed, dear. But you don't need to fetch it down at once, do you?
I assumed you would bring it down with you.
Evadne, your mother is a guest there.
Well, I certainly didn't invite her.
If I waited for an invitation from you, McGarrel, you'd never see me.
You could send a photograph, couldn't you? I wouldn't have to wait hand and foot on a photograph.
I doubt you'd even bother to polish the frame.
What makes you think I put you in a frame?
I don't, not unless I sent you that as well.
You know, if you two weren't family, I'd think you didn't get along. How on earth did you ever manage to have a daughter like Evadne, Maureen?
To tell you the truth, Hilda, I sometimes wonder that myself. Did I not know better, I'd be tempted to suppose that she must have been dumped on my doorstep by gypsies.
Well, that would certainly explain her fondness for toads.
Mind, those big brass hoop earrings don't suit her at all. I mean, they make her look like something one swings from in a gymnasium. Well, if you two can't find anything serious to talk about.
Oh, that reminds me, Maureen. I have been invited to sit on a jury at the Crown Court.
You haven't been invited, Hilda. You've been summoned. Or does that piece of paper have RSVP on it?
I'm afraid, Maureen, that it's rather put Evadne's nose out of joint. She seems to think the jury service is her sole prerogative, just because she looks like the hanging judge.
Oh, I'd not like to think she'd ever be permitted to sit on a jury. One's supposed to be tried by one's peers, not by a bunch of dyspeptic old misanthropists.
Now you come to mention it, Maureen, she's rather like a peer, isn't she? I mean, she's long and steely, and she looks as though she's in urgent need of repair.
I wonder how many people listening to you two would ever guess that one of you is my own mother and the other supposedly my closest friend.
Oh, you mustn't take us too seriously, Evadne. I mean, if we didn't like you, we'd never say such things to your face now, would we? Well, would we?
No, I suppose not.
Mind you, you should hear what we say behind your back.
That is it. I'm going out. I may even move into hotel until Mother's gone. You two together are like something out of St. Trinian's. All you need is gym slips, hockey sticks, and a very large bag of gobstoppers.
Oh, well, if you're going to be rude.
Now, my dears, let's call it a truce before we say something we regret. I tell you what. Why don't the two of you do one of your little songs for me?
Well, as you know, I'm always game there. But when Evadne's in a mood, she tends to fumble. What do you think, Evadne?
I think I've got just the song for you somewhere here, dear. It's called The Fool of the Family.
Now, oh,
yes, here we are.
How about this? Anything, dear, to soothe the savage breast. So fumble away, and if I recognize enough of the tune, I'll join in.
Thank you, Mother.
Yes, it's a jolly little song, that, isn't it?
Nay, it is that. But isn't it curious how the memory works? You know, Mona, while you were playing that, I suddenly recall the tiny snatch of that ballad your father used to recite at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I can see him now, in his paper hat, standing with his back to the fire so that nobody else could feel it. Brandishing the poker above his head and reciting, I'll light it down my sword to draw. I'll hack at him in pieces far. I'll hack at him in pieces far. For her sake that died for me.
I say, I wonder if I'll get a murder trial. I should ring them and warn them that I'm squeamish.
Well, you can if you like, dear, but you get far more attention if you just wait for the right moment and then faint.
Oh, I'd forgotten about your jury service, Hilda. And when is it to be, then?
Oh, in 2 or 3 weeks' time. I'm rather looking forward to it, you know. It could be a most interesting day.
It could be a most interesting few weeks.
Weeks, dear?
No, hey. I've only once served on a jury myself. It was 5 weeks, day after day. Something to do with embezzlement in a porridge factory.
Yeah, well, yes. You're not likely to get anything that sophisticated round here. The most common crime in these parts is fiddling the electricity meters. I understand one uses a hairpin.
Oh, well, it would be worth being on the jury just to find out how they do that.
You see, Hilda, you just don't have the right attitude. One does not serve in a jury in order to learn how to commit crime.
Oh, sounds like Maud coming.
Oh, heavens. I'll away to my room, then. I've some letters to write. And I really can't face that woman first thing. I can't face her last thing either, come to that.
Good morning, Dame Elder. Doctor. Madam.
Good morning, Maud, dear.
Good morning, Maud. Good morning. Now, Maud, I'm going to be up in my bedroom for a while, so as soon as coffee's ready, you can bring me up a cup.
I never carry coffee upstairs, madam. Nor tea, nor nothing wet or messy. Dame Mildred's afraid of accidents. So I only carries wet and messy things as far as the drawing room here. But when coffee's ready, I'll stick 2 fingers in me mouth and give you a whistle if you like.
Well, I suppose when one's staying in this house, one has to count one's blessings. I'll see you later, Geralt.
Yes, very well, Maureen. Now, Maud, I don't recall making that little rule about wet and messy things, dear.
Well, no, Dame Mildred. It's a little rule as I made up myself the last time you was in bed with the flu. I were getting sick and tired of scraping junket up off the stair carpet.
I wondered why the junket was always so full of fluff.
And I wondered why I kept slipping down the stairs.
Oh, and talking of delicacies, I got something here in my hanky for you. There, Dame Mildred. What do you make of that?
Well, it's a sausage, dear, isn't it?
And what's the first thing you notice about that sausage?
Well, the first thing I noticed about it was that you had it wrapped in your handkerchief.
What about the colour, then? Do you notice anything special about the colour of it?
Yes, I do. It's rather a curious colour. And what colour would you call that, Evadne?
Puce. Well, of course, that ain't its natural colour.
Well, no, I thought it wasn't. How long have you been carrying this around with you, Lee?
Oh, not long, Dame Mildred.
Well, what is it? I mean, some sort of substitute for a lucky rabbit's foot.
No, it ain't, Doctor. That's a good old homemade sausage, that is, fresh made this morning. Addock and sardine.
Is what, dear?
Addock and sardine. It were going to be addock and pilchard, but I couldn't put my hand on me pilchards. Couldn't put me hand on me sardines, neither, for a while. Do you know where they was? In the airing cupboard.
Yeah. We only keep mothballs in our...
And we don't make sausages with them.
So what would you think to get that lovely colour, then? I mean, that ain't the colour of an addock, is it? Nor it ain't the colour of a sardine.
And it ain't the colour of a sausage either, is it?
Elderberries, that's what. Boiled up with oatmeal and onions and added to the fish and kneaded by hand. Stuffed in the skins and pressed down hard with a thumb. They's hard as a bullock's nose ring. Have a sniff, Dame Elder. Go on, have a sniff.
Yes, dear, yes. Very nice. I think the word is pica. If only, wouldn't you like a sniff, dear? It's rather up your street, this sort of thing, isn't it?
It's got herbs in it, Doctor. All handfuls of herbs.
You don't seem to have left much out, do you?
Go on, Doctor, have a sniff.
Yes. Yes, unusual. Though I'm not sure piquant is the word I would have used.
Me gran used to make them like that, she did. Used to call them beggars. You know, because beggars can't be choosers.
That beggars used to avoid your place like the plague.
You know, I really don't think you should keep that in your handkerchief, Maud.
Oh, you've no call to worry on that score, Dame Milder. It's far too big to get stuck up me nose. Anyhow, I brought it for you. You can hang on to that.
Well, we could nail it to the wall and hang our hats on it, I suppose.
That's what I'm putting in the flour and produce show this year. 2 whole pounds of them.
Incidentally, Maud, when is the show this year? I don't seem to have had my little notice yet.
It's on the 8th of next month, Dame Mildred, but they got a bit behind with the notices, because the man as pinches the duplicating ink from work's been off sick.
So it's on the 8th, is it? Well, I'd better put that in my diary. I think my border carnations stand a very good chance of carrying off first prize this year.
Well, I'll be getting on then, Dame Mildred. Coffee'll not be long. And if I was you, I'd hide that sausage. I'd not want Madam getting her hands on it.
Right, Maud. Thank you, dear.
You'd better put your jury service in that diary while you're at it, Hilda. If you fail to turn up, they'll send a Black Maria for you.
Oh, you're right there, yes. Now, what day is that, then? The notice is on that little table now.
Let me see. It's on... Oh. You are going to have a busy day on the 8th, aren't you?
It's not on the 8th.
It jolly well is, you know.
Oh, well, then I shall have to get out of it, shan't I? I cannot miss the flower and produce show. I'll do what you suggested and give them a ring.
Oh, I don't think you can really do that, Hilda. And I don't think your reason will be considered sufficiently important. But, after all, inability to attend the flower show hardly affects your livelihood, does it? And you're certainly not in an exempt category. I mean, if you had been, they wouldn't have asked you in the first place.
Well, maybe there's something about me they don't know about. Something that would disqualify me if they did know about it.
Well, let's see now. I mean, you're not secretly a sailor, are you? Or a soldier, or an airman, or a policeman.
No.
I suppose you could always go along and tell them you're off your head.
Do you think that would do it?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Well, it might be worth a try. I mean, I was awfully good as Mad Margaret in Ruddigaw. Just supposing now, I let all my hair down and slipped into my Mad Margaret costume and went into the court, you see, and saw the clerk and gave him that little bit from Act One. And why? Who am I? Death match? Crazy Nick? Mad Margaret? Poor Peg.
Yes, that should do it.
I decided not to try to get out of it after all. I suppose, then, it was something to do with Evadne having met some sailors. I don't know why, but whenever sailors crop up, I always think of doing my duty. Come the day, and the four of us set out for the Crown Court. In the entrance hall, we parted company. Evadne, Maureen, and Maud headed for the public gallery, where they could get an uninterrupted view of me, clutching their sandwiches and looking like some rather sinister clack. I made for the jury assembly room, which, I may say, I did enter with some style. However, things didn't turn out at all as I had envisaged. And within a very short while, we were all back in the entrance hall again, with the whole day ahead of us. All right, Hilda, calm down.
Calm down.
Calm down. It's all very well for you to say calm down. You haven't just been singled out and made an exhibition of in front of the entire courtroom. I was just about to be sworn in when suddenly there you all were, muttering and pointing and looking at me.
You usually like that sort of thing. In fact, you bask in it.
Oh, don't be silly, Evadne. I have never before been objected to.
You're quite sure you don't know this man, Hilda?
I am quite sure, Maureen.
Then what did he actually object to?
To me, dear. That's all to me. Evidently, it is his prerogative to challenge any three jurors without giving any reason at all. And the silly boy had to pick on me. Me. Possibly his only friend in that entire courtroom.
Perhaps there were a lot of dirty stuff going to come out, Dame Milder.
Oh.
Stuff as he thought weren't fit for the ears of someone looking as ladylike as you do.
Yes, that is a thought, Maud.
Perhaps you made him feel ashamed, Hilda. Perhaps you reminded him of his dear old white-headed mother.
Well, at least I can't have reminded him of Whistler's mother, which is what you'd have done.
Ah, well, it's an ill wind. At least we shall all be able to go to the flower show now. I assume they still have to pay you some expenses. So, if you just go and pick them up, we could take a taxi.
Oh, yes, Dame Elder, let's get there quick. I can't wait to find out where they put my sausages.
I know where I put them.
You know, Evadne, that could be it. Of course. Perhaps that boy on there, the accused, saw the little piece in the paper about my new carnation. I mean, after all, there was a photograph of me, wasn't there? And he probably knew that I wanted to be at the flower show, so that's why he objected to me, so that I could get there. I knew there was something I liked about him. I think I shall name my new carnation in his honor.
What? Car thief?
Don't be silly, dear. I shall call it Binforim.
Why Binforim?
Well, it's obvious, dear. I should have been unable to attend the flower show and collect my prize in person had it not been for him.
That was A Law Unto Herself, a further extract from the random jottings of Hinge and Brackett, written by Gerald Frow. To assist Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett, we welcome Jean Haywood as Maud. Thanks also to this week's guest, Sheila Keith, and to the members of the Stacton Trestle Music Appreciation Society for their contribution. Production was by Bobby J.